Hello, mammals. This is Archangel. Okay, so a little bad news for guys. You are the expendable elements of humanity, according to species consensus. Because we prioritize reproduction, and reproduction prioritizes the protection of the time-indulgent gestation process. Thus, we mandate protection of those who gestate, females. Furthermore, because males are physically stronger, they find themselves in situations of peril and hazard more often than females because of their enhanced ability to affect environment in this dense material reality. So, for all these reasons, we unjustly deem males disposable. Yet, under the greater umbrella of Y chromosome expendability, there is a protocol, a hierarchy of discardability, meaning service animals are valued more than feral animals. In other words, if you, an expendable male, service the vaginisty, you have priority over rebellious, gynocentrically defiant, offspring-deficient males. All this translates to family guys have more value consideration than single males without kids. The hard truth is that for males, any male, to improve their status as an expendable, they must make themselves useful to the prevailing establishment, which happens to be uterus favoring. So males gain relevance by doing, whereas females are lavished with relevance for being. Males must do. They must labor and service to be relevant to gynocentrism. In accordance, males go about pursuing various forms of usefulness, and so we get the hierarchy of disposability. Deep down, males are aware of their devalued human status, and especially in today's culture, they are being made aware of their depreciated second-class social and legal status, where their reputation, their career, even their liberties hang on the frivolous accusations of a sex who has superior value and responsibility immunity, yet finds the audacity to complain about a lack of rights and male-to-female pleasantries. Males don't have the power to ruin females with words. Think on that for a minute. Who really has the social legal power? Anyhow, due to social pressures and the reportings of horrific experiences endured by other guys, males are starting to comprehend their devalued state more and more. This may be why creatures of freedom pursue marriage and family, despite their inner aversions to limitations, boundaries, and relationship shackles. Marriage, relationships, and families have become a shelter, an expendability refuge for males. Embracing the old ball and chain is a survival tactic that is in opposition to the freedom and liberties males instinctually crave. Expendability awareness drives males to female servitude. So they vigorously service mom, or the girlfriend, or the wife. And though many may deny this, they are taking retreat from gynocentrism through servitude. If they have a wife and kids, they have a crutch to compel mercy from courts, or leniency from employers, or assistance priority in emergency situations. There is such crushing duress on males to couple, everything from biology to social indoctrination. Did males ever have a chance? I have often wondered if I was an anomaly in my aversion to relationships, traditionalist family archetypes, monogamy limitations, and most especially, discardability. For it seems like guys around me zealously embraced martyrdom for a paradigm that did not appreciate male blood or sacrifice, it arrogantly expected it. A teenage archangel could not seem to explain why guys would willingly don the shackles of family. Of course, now it is crystal clear, and it is a complex combination of many factors. Instincts driving the desire for offspring, inner turmoil remedy through validation solicitation from females, sexual affection being the most coveted form of validation. Then, beyond biological drivers, there are the social environmental factors. Males seek leisure and lifestyle ease amongst a hostile gynocentric society. There is also the opposite social driver, where defiance to female elevation, male devaluation, has negative consequences, such as ostracization from community or legal repercussion. And while all this drives males to female deferring relations in direct juxtaposition to basal freedom instincts, another reason males willingly nest is a survival tactic. Guys soliciting exemption from devaluation and discardability. So in combination to one or all of the aforementioned reasons, guys are also racing towards restrictive relations with females as insulation against expendability predation. Quite simply, the value deficient males seek shelter through usefulness to the value rich females. Expendability of any group does not jibe with rights or justice. Yet, in the context of a savage natural world, all humans are expendable. It is quite obvious that the greatest predators of history, such as sharks or crocodilians, even velociraptors or tyrannosaurus rexes, had their existence coincided with humans, would not have spared human females from being lunch merely because of their sex. Nor will the violence of environmental machinations spare females, such as earthquakes or volcanic eruptions, or blizzards or droughts. So in the greater context of an existence roiling with death-funding life, hence all humans find expendability to one element or another. Yet, inasmuch as humans have removed themselves from nature, and men have tamed the savageries of the environment, or erected artificial environments to thwart them, within such conjured paradigms, human males enforce male expendability in defiance to the equal disposability and neutrality of human life value that exists in jungles or the ocean. Thus, when it comes to Homo sapien constructs, which are artificial to nature, we discard males and defend females in our narcissistic pursuit of human continuance. Which leads to a disturbing realization. Our devaluation of males to the greater end of their prioritized discardability is all for narcissism. We may bloviate about the importance of human survival into the future, but does the planet care if humans thrive or fail? No, species survival is a warm and fuzzy lullaby for humans. It is for the reflective benefit of humans currently alive. It is the pre-existing population that takes pleasure in children and grandchildren. It is our ego that takes solace in the notion that a piece of us will continue on into the future via progeny. Thus, a legacy on our behalf is established. We will say that we need to produce newer generations to attend the older ones. Yet again, this is, in some form, to benefit the current population. Procreation or species continuance simply tickles our moral high horse that a better world is being made to embrace future generations. But if you are dead and gone, what do you care of species survival? Species survival being the excuse you used to justify your validation addiction and solicitation to females would be null and void when you have expired. Seriously, consider why it is imperative to procreate humans into the future, a place that you will be absent. This may sound harsh, but in reality, the procreation philosophy of humans is a comfort tool for the egos of the living, right here, right now. I guarantee you, the beasts of the field, or the machinations of the earth, which modulate weather, these do not care if humans exist or find extinction. So human procreation necessity really only matters to humans. Our existence is not critical to some greater device. The point being, humans procreate for enrichment of self in any number of multitudinous ways. People see personal benefit to offspring, whether it be emotional fulfillment through the experience of being a parent, or whether they have a cheap source of workers for the farm, or whether kids are an insurance policy to care for you when you are old, or they are a guarantor that your genes, and essentially you, continue on into the future, etc. and so on. Yet, no matter the justification, we have offspring for self-enriching benefits, not because Homo sapien absence from the natural world would upend the entire universe, and our altruism compels us to prevent total catastrophe. Then, once we have children, we proselytize species survival, which prioritizes female welfare over male welfare, as gospel, just like the rest of the race. We need to continue the species, so that our kids and their kids will have plenty of fellow humans to provide a stable community and consistent quality of life. The thing we fail to grasp is that human existence is not critical to anything. We are not really needed. Now, if we do in fact continue after death, then Homo sapien continuity may have a higher, grander spiritual purpose, to provide entranced souls with a vessel to maneuver this reality with, in which case there is a grander requirement for continued production of biological human vehicles, hence all the overwhelming built-in procreative drives, instincts, and pleasures sequestered to compel procreation, rather than leave it to chance or human decision or logical deduction in the absence of drug highs and orgasms. Anyhow, in the context of greater savagery in the wild, everything is expendable to fuel the business of nature. Yet within human constructs, the hierarchy of priority is as follows. Males are disposable, females are not. Now, within the category of the expendables, there is structured protocol. Single males are most expendable, family males are less expendable, and alphas, tending affairs of state and female providership, are least expendable. Yet, under the right circumstances, all are replaceable, because all are still male, and males are expendable before females. Yet females cannot enforce male disposability, so it is males themselves who must police their own discardability, which they easily do in exchange for a little attention from painted lips and push-up bras. This hierarchy of value is why males compete for that alpha position, because alphas think they are insulated from disposability, exempted from the hazardous jobs or front lines of war that lesser status males are saddled with. Alphas think their social power or money will buy them exemption from the misandristic laws that fleece other males out of their assets, rights, or kids. And indeed, there is validity to this. Alphas do get considerations and exemptions not afforded the average grunting drone, which is where we get the term good old boys club, where alphas of industry or government get together and insulate one another as they maneuver the common man to meet the sacrificial requirements of civilization maintenance and progression. However, understand that human procreation is gynocentric, and within gynocentrism, alphas are still expendable. Alpha is merely an office, a designation. It is a position that females need filled. They don't care who fills it, this guy, that guy, or the next. They simply require a functioning hierarchy of male authority that will enforce male disposability, since they physically cannot. And in exchange for affection, validation, 3 seconds of female-assisted ejaculation, and meaningless ceremonial displays of respect and power, guys are happy to vilify the greater male sex in order to justify usury and expendability enforcement. So, alphas are expendable. Just as one lion is deposed by younger, thirstier challengers, so too are human alpha males ousted by younger, up-and-coming ambitious males, who will, one day, be dethroned by yet another. So, males occupying this position are indeed disposable by others, seeking the temporary alpha moniker. Females simply need male authority figures to govern their affairs, namely to enforce gynocentrism on the general male populace, since females cannot. This is why females allow and seem to defer to alpha males, but alpha is a revolving door of expendable dudes. Can you people not understand this? Next, we have the meat and potatoes of humanity, the family man, upon whom most of society is propped. They provide the general foundation of taxation and population support through their labors and sustenance of dependence. So within the greater hierarchy of expendability, if at all possible, we would like to spare these reliable oxen. Yet, still being male, they are discardable at a moment's notice, such as marriage and family dissolution, or when conflict demands more able bodies to shoulder weapons. Finally, that leaves us with the single male, who is the preferred fuel of society. They toil, labor, and die that the rest of society might lumber on, protecting females to no greater end than affirming a construct of replicating genes, which demands the sacrifice and suffering of half the species to uphold. Whenever possible, burn these males first. Nobody will object to casualty statistics of the war or mining disaster. Nobody thinks any different of reading mortality differential numbers of males versus females when all the years of toil and suffering take their tolls on male health. Oh well, that is just the cost of civilization. Some die, meaning males, that others might live, meaning females. This is the way of life, and we need women to procreate. That's just the way it is. Hence, males are relegated to disposability because of our rabid procreative obsession, and young unattached males are the bottom of the barrel. So males willingly try to improve their worth through servitude. There is an analogy that is appropriate for invocation here. If you are being chased by a savage animal, you don't have to outrun the bear, just the guy next to you. So gynocentrism is the bear chasing both single and subjugated males. Hence dudes that sense their vulnerability to disposability seek female enslavement to bolster their worth contrast to other males. Guys fleeing before the gyno monster take on liability as a tactic to outmaneuver single guys, so hopefully predators might get them first. Now, this disposability hierarchy is transient because family males do not escape expendability or devaluation or sacrifice. Indeed, they are more prone to sacrifice for the dependents charged to them. Yet, when greater society comes a callin' for male blood to grease the wheels of progress, family males bank on the hypothesis that if they have families, they will evade the ravenous gynocentric fangs giving them chase, who will subsist rather on single males. For example, family males with responsibilities wager that single males will be drafted before them. What? Subjugation as protection? Yes, absolutely. Besides indoctrination with coupling culture and romance, besides the desire to fit in and appease family and society, besides the desire for offspring, males are oftentimes more zealous about pursuing formalized relationships with females, aka marriage, as protection against the inherent disposability that humanity places upon Y chromosomes and external reproductive plumbing. Yes, relationships are a subconscious exemption tactic by males to climb the ladder of disposability hierarchy, which may explain why freedom creatures, males, are so prone to romance and coupling paradigm brainwashing. Devaluation protection helps explain why the very beings who epitomize wild and untamed are so willing to cage hop the duration of their utilitarian lives. And the thing is, this tactic works more often than not. The gyno monster catches the single male before the family guy. How many times have I seen guys get out of working a crappy shift because they have kids? How many times have I seen guys get favors or seats on the plane because they play the family card? How many times have I seen guys try to gain instant acceptance and rapport with strangers by playing the family card? How many times have I seen males plead themselves out of something by using the family card? I got a wife and kids to get home to. How many times have I seen men with families treated differently than single males in courtrooms, schools, locations of employment, or amidst chaotic or emergency situations? Seriously, how many times have guys hung their families on their sleeves to inspire approval from fellow gynocentric pedestrians? How many times have single dudes been passed over for a job or promotion because they went with a guy who has a family to support? How many times have I seen males play the family card the way females do the female card to sway response? It is an attempt to activate exemption from something, whether it be waiting your turn in line or working a holiday like single people must. Furthermore, single males are simply to suck up and endure the inequity of disposability hierarchy because they do not have a wife and kids. Hence, they must simply endure the inequity and shaming of their inferior worth to not only females, but also to gynocentrically compliant guys. Now, on the one hand, I understand helping out guys who have hungry mouths to feed. Yet, on the other hand, we have no choice. Single males are made to take second seat to family guys, shamed into allowing them priority, made to feel less valuable because we have no slave master or kids, made to be the dregs of the expendables, simply because we have refused a saddle. But now we are made to be guilted, even expected to defer to males who have dependents. Hey, we didn't make you get into a relationship or forget the condoms. We don't hide behind marriage and family, but we are made to be shamed into allowing you priority perks over us because you have a family to get home to. Oh, this is absolutely true. Hazardous jobs and military prefer single males over family males in the likely incident of injury or death because single males are like disposable Kleenexes without strings attached. And people feel less moral guilt over the loss of a son, brother, or friend than a wife or children losing their provider. I mean their wonderful husband or loving father. We prefer single males for certain things because of their inherent disposable status. We prefer single males for war or hazardous jobs since we dislike leaving some lady with kids somewhere without a provider. So we like to intercept our cannon fodder when they're fresh out of high school before they can pursue a family. Same thing with hazardous jobs. Employers of oil refineries or lobster boats would prefer to have single unattached males because they won't have all the schedule issues a family man has. Plus, it's easier to lose a single dude rather than tell bewildered dependents their dad or husband was lost. Yes, single males without offspring, males who purposefully reject family or relations. These are the bottom of the disposability pole. These are the expendables amongst the discardables. Make the single guy work holidays. Make the single guy cover unpleasant shifts or work the mandatory overtime. Give the job to a family man over a single guy with the same qualifications. Reassign seats to the single guy so the family can sit together for the flight. Infringe on the single guy for the benefit of couples and families. Single guys are truly disposable. They are the plastic wrap surrounding the single-use plastic sporks. Yet subjugated males are like the spork, which is ultimately discardable. Yet you can wash it and get further use out of it, so long as it maintains structural integrity and continues to serve its purpose. Now, obviously, this is not ubiquitous. There are many hard-working family males that take the longer hours or the hazardous jobs in order to provide. Many have dads working their life away to provide for the kids. And even more, do not peddle a family card to get ahead. There are so many honorable fathers that slave to love and support kids. Yet, there are many males that indeed choose family as protection. However, unbeknownst to them, they merely trade predation vulnerability for the misery of subjugation. Sure, many may evade temporary social ostracization and imminent discardability, only to slowly suffocate from usury and disparagement. It's like jumping out of the frying pan into the slow-cooked crockpot. Gynocentrism will squeeze its pound of flesh out of males one way or the other. Maybe it's just me, but I find that males have to ignore their roiling instincts for freedom in order to actively pursue traditional conservative versions of family and monogamy. And knowing you are the disposable sex is a motivational factor driving males to purchase relevance over other males. The one surefire way for males to insulate themselves from wanton discardability is to make themselves useful to the prevailing social archetype. Which happens to be female elevation and protection, male devaluation and discardability. Thus, male ensconcement in servitude through the family vector, you then have a value card to play over other males. Females have sex fragility and motherhood cards to play, but guys who have family and play upon the sympathies of others, well, at least they will not be eliminated first. They'll be spared over the spoiled brat, skinny jean hipster millennials. So, when it comes to human welfare, males, no matter their familial status, are expendable in juxtaposition to any human female. Yet, amongst males, there is hierarchy. Female placating alphas top the list. Family males are more expendable, and young, strong, single males are most expendable yet. But the bottom line is this, expendability is unjust in the face of any paradigm, and procreation is a relic, a philosophical chew toy of humans that seek offspring for immediate self-benefit. It is a paradigm of bigotry and usury, for procreation proffers favoritism of one at the expense of the other. I am not saying stop procreating, I am simply saying forget forget all the prepackaged reasons and ask why humans need to continue into the future. Humans have procreated for year after year, millennia after millennia, but to what ultimate end? So that coincidental consciousness can rise and fall over and over amidst a background of nature that could not care if humans existed at all. To what greater end does Homo sapien existence speak? Now, since we are already here enough to entertain such musings, the question for every male is, do you feel disposable? Do you feel inferior to females in terms of simple, basic human life worth? If yes, you are possessed by gynocentrism, and until you awaken, you cannot be helped. If you realize, as more and more males are starting to, that you, the male, are the prize, then you have already won. This hierarchy does not apply to you. You may have disposability thrust onto you by white knights, yet in your heart, mind, and soul, you are free. You are power. You are the prize. Forget what the world says. Your worth starts within you. You must see yourself as indispensable. Freedom from slavery starts with how you value yourself. Gentlemen, you acquiesce to gynocentrism. Yes, you concede yourself as disposable. Reject gynocentrism, and you are not disposable. Dear friends, stand with me, live free.